Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
You got to admit that Orion chick that's on the cover of this Memory Alpha, she didn't have enough screen time. Not enough screen time. And
this episode was actually pretty good.
It was all right.
I liked it. I was into it. It was corny, but I liked it.
Yeah.
The main bad guy's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
The Augment dude. But yeah. I feel like the actor's not annoying. The character is annoying.
Well, that's like any of the ones that we've come across in Enterprise. It's yeah. Like, because you got to remember, this is also early aughts, late 90s writing. You know, where the bad guys had to be bad guys.
Twizzle that mustache.
Exactly, you know. Okay, so just as a preface to what's going to happen, if you hear bangs going on in the background or my dog that starts barking, that's because we're recording this on July 3rd and my neighborhood can't tell days and time, so they're launching off some firecrackers, which they did when we were recording the other episode. But you know, I don't know if now that I have this the Rode mic, it doesn't seem to pick up as much background noise as the other one did. So
right.
So we'll see how that goes as this night progresses. but yeah. So before we get into the show, as we always do, let's talk about some of what we've saw this week. Star Trek: Strange New Worlds, all those who wander. Your thoughts?
You know what's funny? I need to refresh my memory on which episode this was.
This was the one with the crashed.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it was great. It was great, but then it was also like, what the fuck? Because of, it seems like half the fucking cast is leaving.
I know, right?
I was like, okay.
But then we see Uhura in the trailer for the next episode, so I'm like, what? How much time has passed?
Right. It was good. It was a great episode, and it's very Aliens-esque, and you could tell they were having fun with it, and it was great. It left some questions that only super nerds are probably worried about, such as myself. Like, I'm like, if Gorns fight to who's the alpha and only the alpha remain, how do you run a society that can create spaceships like that?
I think she said the young.
Right. So I assumed, while I was thinking about it on my own time, that usually there's an adult there.
Mm.
That will find out who the Alpha is and then put the other ones to do something else.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, this
that
is,
would make more sense.
This is the kind of stuff we think about when we're alone in the dark and the power's out.
Right. You know, it's basically the way wolves work times 10. Right. I mean, that's kind of what it worked for me. It was really good, though. It was Spock kind of lost his mind a little bit.
That was cool.
Which was cool. I mean, all he really did was scream and run. But, I mean, it was still cool. He almost checked fucking Kirk better calm down with that mouth. Bro. Kirk was freaking out. He was the game over guy.
He was
over
Bill Paxton from Aliens.
Yeah, he was Bill Paxton.
I don't know if you just saw this, but we just got our asses kicked, man.
Yeah. He was acting the fool.
I saw somebody on Twitter. Somebody on Twitter said, is it me or is Sam Kirk getting a little annoying? And the actor that plays Kirk replied, goes,
no, it's just the actor.
He goes, no, it's not the writers. He goes, oh, no, the writers are trying really hard to make me not like Kirk. And then he goes, no, it's not the writers. It's the actor. I thought that was funny.
But then it's like he hasn't been on the show enough for you to not like him or like him.
I think just because, you know what I mean? I think it was just like, I was thinking like, if it's this episode, then I think you need to calm down a little bit. Because he's not like everyone else. He's, what is he? He's one of the sciences. Right.
He's not a tough guy. He's not in a tough guy role.
Right.
He's not in command, you know, or anything like that. So it's and they had in this episode too, when we get into it, there's an ensign that's wigging out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, it's either you're new or you're just not used to that kind of, but I mean, he better start getting used to, because he keeps getting fucked up in these away missions.
What I thought was funny is somebody goes, yeah, they go, I like the fact that they use the old Star Trek trope. Oh, we have Uhura and these two other people that are going on the away mission. And who's going to die? You know?
Yeah. They were quick to get fucking knocked off too.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was clever how they,
but they weren't red shirts. Like, that was kind of cool.
Right. I thought it was clever how they beat the Gorn, and there was still the engineer was kind of sad, but he went out like a G.
Oh, total G.
But then I was kind of surprised. I was like, why are we killing people off so soon?
Well, like, the season finale is tomorrow. I mean,
no,
this
I know,
week,
but we're only in the first season. It's only 10 episodes. Yeah. You know, it just seemed weird.
Well, some people are saying maybe this is making way for Scotty. Because Scotty's older than everybody else.
Yeah, wasn't Scotty on the ship when Kirk took over?
I think so.
I mean, that'd be cool too. Yeah. I just liked him. I thought he was cool.
Yeah, I liked him too. I really thought that sucked. But it did have more of an emotional impact with the characters. I love that. And plus when he said, live long and prosper to Spock, I was like, dang.
That was dope. That was dope.
I did like the way Spock... Now, the thing is like, you know, like you said, you know, like, well, he just yelled. But it's like he was getting in touch with his anger, which is kind of like what T'Pol went through. So he's doing what T'Pol, you know.
Yeah, he chose to do it. It wasn't like he just lost his mind, because he did like a little fucking meditation thing where he allowed that to come to the surface, and he's having trouble putting it back.
Putting back in
check. It was cool. You know, yeah, I mean, I the whole premise of it was cool. I just thought it was funny when the first thing he did was go, ah, just ran in.
Leroy Jenkins.
For real.
I liked when I was like going, oh shit, we got the Gorn. First off, it was kind of cool seeing the ship on the planet's surface. I was like,
that was a cool shot.
The whole thing when I was watching it, I'm like going, oh shit, are we getting aliens? Like, we got aliens at this bitch? And then all of a sudden we got Predator in there. I was just like, I was for it. Like, a lot of people were, you know, like going, oh, they just did this. It's like going, you know what? People have said that aliens borrowed from Star Trek. You know, it's like, this is sci-fi. It's like, you know what?
I mean, it's fine. It's just, you're making an homage kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, why is this a problem? Why is paying homage to another sci-fi franchise a problem? It made for a great story. I thought it did really well. It amped up everything. I liked the way it played out.
And you know how many times I've seen quote unquote the thing in sci-fi, like they do it over and over and it's cool every time.
And then somebody called the girl Newt from Aliens. I was oh yeah, we got Newt. But yeah, I totally dug it. I liked
I liked it. I thought it was really cool to kind of get ourselves a little bit of a horror, you know, a horror episode.
And we really got a good look at the Gorn too.
Oh my God.
Who seem to be, they're going to be an enemy that's going to keep making a resurgence. I don't think they're going to be like an intellectual enemy, but they're definitely a boogeyman.
Yeah. They're definitely going to be they're going to be the ones for the, because you can see pretty much that they're laying off the Klingons.
Well, I hear that rumor says that the Klingons are making a comeback in the second season, but who knows?
Yeah, but it's possible. I mean, they're just outside the war, you know?
Yeah.
So they're going to lay off anything with the Klingons for a bit because that was all Discovery and, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
But I think at this point, you know, putting the Gorn in there allows them to give we can do these action episodes or these suspenseful episodes using the Gorn, because more often than not, we're like, okay, we're done with the Klingons. We don't have the Romulans in here. You know, what are we going to do? And you're bringing in a character or a species that everybody wants to know more about. And I think it's perfect. It's a perfect way to use the Gorn.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, and they've always used the Gorn, and I've said this before, they use the Gorn in video games, Star Trek video games, as this like faceless enemy with just shitty ships.
Yeah.
Basically. And so we're definitely getting a more fleshed out, you know, Gorn race, which is great because they're one of the old school races. You know, yeah. They've been around since TOS. I mean, we did get to see Captain Kirk beat up one on a planet. You know, when he built that bazooka or whatever the fuck he was doing.
It was funny because I was watching Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey the other day, because on Pluto they have the first and second Bill and Ted and they play them back to back. And I was watching that and I saw and I was like, yeah, you ever notice that in movies of the 90s, whenever they have something on TV, it's always that episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
The one where he's fighting the Gorn.
And it's such a timeless episode.
And it cracks me up because I was like, that's why it's so popular. The Gorn is so popular because outside of Trek, it's shown in like any pop culture thing. Somebody's watching something late at night. It's always that episode.
The lizard people.
Yeah. You know. But yeah, I thought this episode was cool. I'm really curious to see what happens in their finale. So that should definitely be a lot more very interesting. Oh, I like the fact that they threw in K7, the Tribbles space station.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool.
A cool little reference.
Yeah.
I'm sad that the engineer died. Also, that the security officer.
Oh.
Seems to be leaving. I have a suspicion she'll come back, but also a horror. But we know she's coming back, so that doesn't count.
Right.
You know. Yeah, it just seemed like everybody was leaving, and it kind of threw me off. Like, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, at the end, like, why this dude's dead? These chicks are leaving. Like, what's going on here? You know, but whatever, we'll see. It even looked like the captain was stunned, because she was like, I just want to say thank you for everything. And he just gave that smile, like, yeah, sure, I guess. You know.
I liked the dad jokes he made before they left. You know, he's like, all right, I'm going to take everybody in the station wagon. Everybody better go before we leave, and don't make me turn this car around.
I like how he had Spock doing dishes and shit.
I know, he gives him the fucking apron. He's like, oh, here, you can do this. He's like, of course.
I really enjoy that one of the things about Pike is that he cooks for
everybody.
The crew.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really cool. Like, it's something a little humanizing, and especially when we know that cooking is kind of a necessity anymore.
Seems like a lost art, you know.
Right. You know, so it's pretty cool that he's I mean, we see the TNG, you know, Riker trying to cook or whatever, and it never was good.
Right.
Which I always thought was funny. But like he's making food.
In that episode he made eggs or something like that and everybody didn't like it except Worf.
Yeah, Worf ate the shit out of it. Like,
they're delicious.
but yeah, it was I really like that dynamic. Also, we mentioned too that I really like that they're zooming in on the pads and showing that they're actually doing something, like they're a tablet.
Yeah,
kind of just modernize that tech a little bit, which is cool.
It was funny is like when they're scrolling through and she's reading they're reading the specs on the ship. If you just see update available, you know, update 137.4, like going, God damn it!
You see someone playing a fucking. A game on there or something like bro.
It's still Angry Birds. My God, really?
Angry Birds 27 or some stupid shit.
And the other episode this week is The Orville New Horizons, A Tale of Two Topas.
This is a very cleverly done episode.
I thought so.
It was funny because I was on Reddit and somebody was like, of course, you know, fucking this super woke Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. And they're here. And I said, you know, I can't believe they have a child getting a sex change operation. I said, I responded, I said, technically, they're reversing one. Shouldn't you be happy? And then they didn't say anything after that. Yeah, I thought this was a bold, very bold episode to do. Yeah. I respected them for doing the episode because especially right now, like everything's very heated around this. And I, you know, and even if I didn't agree, I would still respect that, you know, he was willing to just put that out.
So you don't respect regular storytelling?
No, I don't. But it was a good episode, too. It was solid.
I love pancakes. So you hate waffles?
Fucking the internet, ladies and gentlemen. I heard that the actor who played
Topaz?
No, that played the father that didn't want him to get the sex change.
Right.
Has been getting hate. It's like he's not the character. What is wrong with people?
People are so fucking stupid. You know? Yeah, I thought it was a very, very cleverly done trans episode. I thought it really, it touched on a lot of the aspects that, you know, technically you'd be dealing with. I like that it was a Kelly episode. Haven't really got much about her in a while. And Kelly being able to throw down with fucking, Bordis's husband or whatever. I was like,
he was getting his ass whooped the whole episode.
between her and Isaac. He's like, I gotta leave this ship. Everybody's gonna beat the shit out of me. And then Isaac, I dug that. I dug where he just kept standing in front of him and then grabbed his arm and just held him.
Yeah.
It was like,
he basically, Isaac made it very clear, you will not win this fight. But then, like, low key, I felt bad at first. I felt bad for him. Because, yeah, you know, he has a very traditional view for the planet, you know, and for his planet or whatever. And I didn't agree with him, but it's still his kid. And in his mind, he thinks, and he said it in the beginning, he's like, he also had that sex change that was forced on in the beginning. And that he said, I wish no one ever told me. And, you know, I don't want him to be embarrassed. And you know, so like, so you kind of have sympathy for him.
There was a lot of projection from him.
Right. Yeah. You know, and you could see that he had issues that he was dealing with. But then what he said at the end, over with, bro.
Yeah.
Over with for me. And he's like, I wish you were never born to his own child. Nah. Yeah. No more sympathy, pimp. You can leave.
Yeah. I thought, I thought that this was kind of a missed opportunity on the writing part was to not bring up his change. Like Bordis should have been like, you know, there should have been something about projecting his insecurities onto his child, because that's what a lot of people do. I mean, some people, and we see this online all the time where people, I hate gay people for whatever reason. And, you know, most of the time it's because they feel a certain way. And it's that self-hate. They project the thing that you hate the most. And that's what, you know, that's usually what comes out. And so for me on this one, I was kind of getting pissed at Bordis because I was like, dude, say something. Like, you're part of this too. Like, you should.
Yeah, like he stated his position, but he didn't really argue. He argued a little bit, but more to just shut him up.
Yeah, he didn't really stand up to him, and I kind of was like, okay, so I guess Bordis is the what do you call it? The submissive, the sub in the relationship.
I mean, I guess.
I mean,
they actually play that couple really well, where they both were just kind of your stereotypical men.
Yeah,
you know, because a lot of people just go, oh, a gay couple will have a feminine and a man. No, they don't. Not necessarily.
No, I mean, they have a sub and a dom, but that's just any relationship, regardless. No, but that's, it's true. There is a lot, because most people that are the same won't last because if they're the same. They have to
But people not being the same doesn't mean one's submissive to the other. There are 50-50 relationships. Okay. Sorry, Dr. Phil.
The thing is that with that, I thought there was a good opportunity for them to kind of mention projection, that he's projecting his insecurities and his stuff dealing with onto his kid. But what really turned me against Clyden, what really turned me against him is when Topaz went to Isaac and asked if he felt happier after he deactivated himself. And I was like, going, oh shit, he's thinking of killing himself, you know? And I'm glad they didn't do what other science fiction and Star Trek's guilty of this too, where they don't mention it to anyone else. Like, yeah. I was so happy when
they also at least gave a purpose for the first episode.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, okay. Yeah. You know, it was cool. It was regulation, which is, I mean, it's quote unquote regulation in most places do that.
But when we see on Star Trek where something happens and nobody says anything, they just stand there and watch or whatever.
Having a rough day.
Yeah. It's somebody's overreacting a little bit, you know, and then walk away and not say anything. I was like, okay, cool. We got that. But I really liked the way they handled the episode and the way they handled the subject. I thought it was really cleverly done.
It was good. Yeah. It was good. There was a part of me that kind of like I didn't agree with Clyden. But then when that whole meeting where the captain was like, well, union law, we only need one person to agree. I kind of felt like if someone were to do that to me with one of my kids, I would lose my shit. Like, kind of like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I didn't agree.
My child.
And when I heard that, I was like, going, ooh, that's a little rough. Like. So the one we agree with, we're going to go with? Is that how this is working? Like, I thought that was a little weird.
And to me, that kind of reminded me of sometimes a flaw on the liberal side of arguments where it's like, I'm right, fuck off. And the conservatives do that too. But they it should never be done by either. Like, it's like, I don't agree with you. Why? Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that never happens because humans are all petty children. So that kind of is what it felt like to me. It's like, no. We know what's best for your kid. Shut the fuck up. And I was kind of like, ooh, that just didn't sit with me too well, even though I didn't even agree with them. But there should have been more dialogue. Now I get it. It's a television show. We need to speed it up because the dialogue on that would take a long time, you know?
Yeah, because I think, you know, I mean – the way they made Clyden made him one dimensional.
Yeah. And exactly what you say. I agree. I think they could have took in as much as I like the episode, they could have taken his past sex change or whatever and used that to give him a little bit of a redemption, a little bit of a, he understands his kid, you know, and stuff like that, instead of just him being atypical evil.
Right.
You know, and disowning his child. And does that happen in real life? Of course it does.
Yeah.
You know,
you but got kids that come out as gay and then their parents disown them. Yeah.
It was almost like, yeah, the disowning is wrong, of course. But Jesus, like everybody basically pushed him that way too. Because it was just like, your opinion isn't valid here. And it wasn't even his husband that was doing that.
Right.
Because as you said, the husband wasn't saying anything.
Yeah.
It was Kelly mainly. Like, I know what's best for your son. Or your daughter, wherever we were in the episode. It was just weird. I felt like things were sped up because it's TV, you know, and we just don't have the luxury of 3 hours of communication and stuff like that. I still think it was a good episode. I think it was good for kind of people that don't understand some of the complexities, it kind of giving them a broad view of that kind of issue. You know, because most families don't have people who are trans or, you know, stuff like that. So it was good. I think it was, like I said, a bold episode to do. And we need more of that in popular culture. People taking some risks, you know.
Yeah.
Big ups to not only McFarlane, but also fucking Disney. Because it's basically a Disney show.
Yeah.
Or Hulu or whatever. You know, it was. I was impressed. I kind of watched it, and I kind of went, "Wow!"
Yeah,
like I was like, "That really happened. Like we did that."
Oh, cool! So this is actually what you know, like
we're actually reflecting life.
Yeah, we're actually kind of doing that.
But then also, and I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'll just be quiet so you can speak. I'm sorry.
No worries.
My favorite part of the episode was actually when the Admiral dressed them down for a couple of reasons. One, you never see that.
Yeah.
It's usually like, oh, you were right all along. You know, what they did was wrong because they jeopardized the lives of billions for one person.
Yeah.
And
it violates Spock's law.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
As much as I am happy that the kid is happy, they shouldn't have done that. And she said it, you were lucky.
Yeah.
And they were, because she explained how that race almost was going to leave, but they're like, well, fuck it. We got bigger fish to fry right now, so we'll hold off.
Right.
You know, it's like sometimes, unfortunately, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. You know what I mean?
Or the one.
Yeah. It just was like, there were parts in the episode where you can kind of see where it shouldn't have gone the way it went, even though that was the happy ending.
Right.
But sometimes happy endings don't happen, you know? So I feel like these opinions, if said in certain circles, would get me, someone would call me an alt-right fascist or something, but you know, I'm just being realistic here.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that, you know, the episode took really bold, step. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I thought that it kind of shortcutted a couple of things, but as I said to you, after I watched the episode, I never really liked Clyden's character.
Yeah, so I don't really care that he left.
Yeah, I'm not like going, oh, he's leaving. Okay, cool. So it officially makes Bordas Worf at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. And then I knew Bordas gave him the passcode to access that file.
I did too.
Yeah.
I didn't think Kelly did it.
No.
That's too far.
Yeah, that would have been too far for her. And you know, she would have been, that would have been a quality. Everybody would have been like, oh, dude, you shouldn't have done that. You know, but, you know, with Bordas doing it, it made it easier, but yeah, you know, I just thought we could have used a little more character as far as, instead of making him completely unlikable, even though his character was kind of already like that, I thought they could have used, somebody could have said, like, you can't project your, you know, your insecurities, your experiences with him because he's not on that planet, blah, blah, blah. You know, I thought they could have used that, and it may not have worked, you know, for that character. I don't think it would have worked on that character, but it should have at least been addressed. And I think they kind of glossed over that fact.
I kind of felt like that maybe that actor was leaving.
Mm.
And that was an easy way to kind of get him to fuck off. You know.
Or maybe, they weren't going to have him for a while, or they're going to go a different direction where they don't want
him. And now we can focus on Bordas and his kid.
Yeah, because that could allow, and it could be a writing decision. Like, well, we're going to give Bordas a chance to grow as a parent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that would lead to him to grow more because he's going to be the only one in charge of a son,
and also having a little bit more children activity on the ship.
Yeah,
kind of like a TNG kind of thing, because right. That adds a whole other dynamic. Like, I can see how, like I said, I enjoyed the episode. I thought it was really good. But I can also see the choices they made, like what they're going to impact later. And I think that's cool too. I think the show's really good. I think it's been, finding its own voice, which I think needed to happen. It couldn't always be the one that kind of like Star Trek, but funny, like that wasn't going to last forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I think especially now, because there was such a break, and then it comes back this season, and we already have, you know, fucking Strange New Worlds and Picard and all this other shit going on. So I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying it. I think I'm just as excited to watch The Orville as I am to watch Strange New Worlds.
Now, yeah, after that first episode.
That first episode was trash. I'm sorry. Like, I know a lot of people liked it. I did not. I thought it was just dumb.
Yeah.
You know, there was so many other things you could have done. You know, but the high school episode was kind of dumb too, but it was funny.
The high school
episode? That's the one where they saw a high school.
Oh, yeah, but there was so many different elements to it, so...
It was funny and it was new. It was more...
It felt Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah, so it was cool. It was silly, but it was cool. But yeah, I think they've been doing really good. I can't wait to watch the next episode. And unfortunately, next week, the last Strange New World.
I'm gonna get through it.
It's been a long road. And I can already tell they're doing it old school. And they're going to hit me with a fucking cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of this fucking season.
Dude, and I'm going to be like, I would die if it ends with, dun, dun, dun.
Bro, I really hope they do it, though.
If they did, I'd throw my TV through the fucking window. I'd be like, God damn you. and on a similar note, they've completed principal photography of season 2 of Stranger New Worlds. Yeah. So,
right.
We know what's coming.
Have they finished Picard?
No,
or are they still filming it?
No, they finished Picard early spring. They wrapped the third season already.
I'm looking forward to that because we're having a lot of old characters coming back and they know they're wrapping it up. So I'm gonna enjoy that because it's gonna be a definitive ending.
You're right.
So, I actually after the third season, I would love to go back and just watch the whole thing. You know, it's almost like one big epic movie.
Yeah,
because it all pretty much connects, which is pretty cool.
Like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's all connected.
Wow. You see the meme I sent you? Where it said Marvel MCU fans in 2093 have to watch 483 movies to understand Captain Spider-Man and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
I was fucking dying.
At first I was like, what the hell? And I was like, oh, I read the year wrong. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's...
It should have me laughing, man.
All right, so I guess we get down to the main event.
A Star Trek event. Brent Spiner joins the crew of Enterprise.
Permission to come aboard, sir?
He's Earth's greatest mind, a genius who knows no mercy.
Looks like you might have saved Earth for nothing.
And he'll kindle a hatred that will last for generations.
Two of my people just disappeared.
They're dangerous. Future.
Part of the Star Trek saga you never knew.
Start learning how to speak Klingon.
Star Trek Enterprise.
Speaking of episodes I enjoyed, I actually like this one. Borderland. This is episode 4 of season 4. Originally aired on October 29th, 2004. Missed opportunity. Could have been a Halloween episode. It's fine. This is also part 1 of 3. Of the augments part 1 of 3 of Soong's augments and part 1 of 9 of the augments, which is I think it's a recurring thing in the season for a while. No one special writing or directing it. Archer needs the help of a criminal to prevent war with the Klingons, part 1 of 3. Teaser, which is short. While on patrol in the borderland, an area of space between the Klingon Empire and the Orion Syndicate, a Klingon bird of prey discovers a transport shuttle containing two human biosigns. While the two humans are being escorted to the brig, they attack and murder the entire crew. They went full G mode on them fucking Klingons, too. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, I know. Martok from DS9 was the Klingon general. I thought that was cool. When I heard the voice, I was like, oh, that's Martok.
He's one of my favorite Klingons for real. Like he was so good in DS9.
Oh yeah.
He was the one that Worf punked his son.
Yeah.
And then brought the blade back. Right. He goes, did you bring this knife back to like make fun of me or something like that? He was cool.
So he says and he goes to something of his son's honor and he's like, you can't. And he said something like, you can't take away something that someone didn't have or something like that. It was basically like that. I remember that. I was like, oh, damn.
But it was cool because he was Martok or whatever was like an old – he was a very much an old head in that relationship with him and Worf.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool. I really enjoyed those episodes.
Also, little bit of criticism. Why does the Asian guy always have to use martial arts?
Because they naturally know it. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
But not but really.
You're right. I don't know why. Act one.
It's been a long road.
Ooh. Back on Earth, Dr. Eric Soon sits in his prison cell working on plans for improvements of the human genome. At that time, Jonathan Archer visits. after Soong reveals his
I liked when Soong goes, "Oh, what are they naming the prison after you?"
Yeah, that was funny. After Soong reveals his sarcastic and pretentious personality, Archer tells Soong about the Bird of Prey. According to Archer, it was attacked by augments whose DNA matched Soong, one of Soong's DNA matched ones that Soong stole from a medical facility when they were embryos 20 years ago. He raised the children as his own and never revealed their location. They have been left alone since they were 10. Soong is removed from prison and is to work on board Enterprise. Who wrote this?
English, not my first language.
Which is fully repaired from its mission in the Delphic Expanse to help locate the augments. He is fitted with a transponder, so he won't be able to escape without being tracked. Soong tells Archer to search the borderland for the Bird of Prey as Enterprise prepares to launch. Archer takes a moment to regard his reassembled crew and tells him he wouldn't have it any other way as the ship leaves space dock and warps towards the border.
To me, it seems that Brent Spiner goes out of his way to make you not like Soong.
Yeah.
And why?
He really does.
And also, why is it that Soong looks like Data in every generation?
Just so fucking Brent Spiner can do something.
Because we just recently saw him in Picard. You know,
I love it. It's almost a trope at this point.
Yeah, because it's like
anyone in the Soong family looks like Brent Spiner.
But then the same thing for T'Pol. Her great grandmother looks like T'Pol.
I think it's just they're just saving on budget. Like, come on. They don't got to hire anyone.
Because it's like I look at pictures of like my dad, and I'm like, going, yeah, I have a little bit of this, I have a little bit of that, but I don't really see
I don't look identical to anyone in my family.
Exactly.
On the Bird of Prey, a power struggle ensues when the augment leader Raken scolds Malik for stealing the vessel. Malik takes great offense to this action and contemplates Raken's future as their leader. Dun, dun, dun. So you can see that they're not all, sunshine and rainbows over there.
Right.
In Enterprise's sick bay, Phlox and Soong have a discussion about genetic engineering and the augments. This shit was funny, dude. as well as the disastrous eugenic wars of the 20th century, Phlox says his people have used genetic engineering to help cure disease for over two centuries, but that is very different from what Soong does. He is not pleased about Soong's work and behavior. It was so funny because he said, I actually wrote it down. I have the quote because I typed it to you. And I was laughing my ass off. Where is it at? Oh, here it is. Phlox says, "It's your responsibility as a scientist to learn from past mistakes." Soong says, "What makes you think I haven't?" Phlox said, "I can read." When I say I fell out, dude, I fell the fuck out. That shit was so funny.
And it's funny because we discuss that, like, people that always get into this whole thing of like, oh, well, I'm going to do it differently, I'm going to do it better, always fall into the same trap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it ends up being, for the Soong family,
yeah,
the biggest negative to them, and this even affected the creator of Data and Lore,
right,
was legacy.
Yeah.
They all care so much about their damn legacy. And at this point, I think the last one, the one that made Data, was just lucky. Because even he fucked up because Lore was a maniac.
Yeah.
He was just lucky that Data existed. And before, I guess. Before never hurt nobody.
But we don't talk about before.
No, we don't. Although we saw him in Picard.
Yeah.
Kind of,
sort of.
In a drawer.
Yeah.
Upon entering the borderland on May 17th, 2154, Enterprise is almost immediately attacked by two Orion interceptors. I get it for the show, you know. Why don't we send the Columbia with them? You know what I mean? Why don't we go as a group and handle business?
Is Columbia ready to go yet, though?
Oh, yeah. They were building it, huh?
Yeah, they were
send some of them slower ships over there. Like, whatever. come with the gang a little bit.
It'll take like a week for them to get there, but, you know, they'll still get there. They'll back you up.
We'll meet you guys there. Act 2. the Orions abduct 9 of Enterprise's crew members. They just jacked them, too.
I know, dude.
With the teleporter, including Commander T'Pol and Ensign Jeffrey Pierce, who we don't know.
You know somebody was like, going, hey, that looks like a sex. They look like a fine-ass bitch on that bridge.
Let's get that one.
Let's get that one.
The crew members are taken to Varex 3 to an Orion processing station where they are auctioned off as slaves. Soong guides Archer to this planet as he used to acquire supplies he used to survive while on the run. All of the slaves are fitted with neuralytic restraints. If they try to escape, they will die.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. On the bird of prey, Malik is able to earn the respect of many of the augments and spearhead a mutiny against Raken, which he confides to Persis, a female augment. By the way, this female augment is showing way more breasts than I've ever seen. There's like side boob going on. I mean, Jesus, they weren't even rating this show.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of what they used to do with, you know, Bator. Or Lursa, one of those two, the one that you always, the Klingon chick that showed way too much breast. Yeah.
He says he should be the augment's leader because he is the smartest and the strongest, and it is what their father would have wanted. They did Raken kind of dirty, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, it wasn't like he was horrible, you know what I mean? But it was like, I don't know, it was just weird.
But that's how. That kind of, well, remember the whole thing with Khan, you know, it's that whole augments is like, I'm better. It's like Klingons, you know, in order for you to ascend, you have to
alpha shit.
Yeah. You have to take out the one that's standing in your way or the mirror universe. Remember the mirror universe, however you got promoted. Yeah.
It's always how bad guys do things.
Yeah.
Arriving at Varex,
it would have been funny if he goes, I don't agree with you. Oh, do you now? No, I don't. So let's sit down at a cup of coffee and talk this out. All right, let's do that.
The next episode is them just hashing things out.
They're sitting there. They got chocolates on a little plate with the coffee and stuff like that, you know.
They always talk about how massive, the augments always talk about how massive their intellect is, but all they do is fight.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, I talk about that, but it's like, you guys say that, but yet you reduce your actions to just generic, you know, alpha small dick mentality.
Yeah. It's weird. Arriving at Varex 3, the Enterprise is able to enter the auction due to an old identification code used by Soong. All prisoners are wearing neuralytic restraints, so Enterprise is not able to beam the crew back. T'Pol is found to be a high demand individual.
Yes, she
is. And is sold for a high price to a Tellarite. So
that was funny. I saw the Tellarite. I was like, Tellarite's over there.
And that Tellarite was happy.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was funny because so the main Orion like slave salesman was actually the Big Show, who's a wrestler. And he was just picking her up.
Dude, the way he picked her up,
nothing.
Yeah, like a fucking rag doll.
Well, that dude's huge.
No, I get
that. Like 6'7" or something.
Well, yeah, when he went up against Archer, I was like going, holy shit, that dude's fucking tall.
Even Archer looked nervous. Oh, shit. But yeah, I just thought that was funny. They kind of completely skipped over this, but there was an ensign that was freaking out.
He just signed aboard Enterprise. Like, I just came aboard. I was like, did you not read the Zindi files? Like, did you?
For real. T'Pol had to help calm him down or whatever, but then she got taken out of the thing.
Here,
and
just
leave her alone.
Just motorboat me. That'll calm you down.
Act motherfucking. This is going real quick because dude's skipping about a million things. Archer and Soong beam down to Varex 3. Archer is able to locate most of his crew in cells. After Soong and Archer view an Orion slave girl up for auction, he didn't skip that, did he?
Yeah, no, he didn't. If you go to Memory Alpha in the link, you get a nice. That's one of the main pictures they have on there. And I'm just going to tell you, not enough screen time and perfect on the character development.
Yeah, and it was Shakespearean. It was ridiculous.
I'm surprised she didn't get her own spinoff after this, you know.
I thought she was the same Orion Slave Girl from that episode where they took over the Enterprise.
I don't think
but so. But I might be wrong. I'm probably wrong.
They all look alike.
Archer didn't recognize them. They all look alike. Orions, you know.
Yeah.
Archer buys
We're going to get a thing in social media. Fucking racist. You know that Orions aren't real, right?
It doesn't matter. The implication is there. Ensign Pierce, the
No. It's going to be, Orion Slave Girl's like, so that means all black people look alike? Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Twitter, 2022. Ensign Pierce is up next. Archer buys him using his scanner and bribes an Orion to deactivate his restraint, but to leave it on Pierce's neck. That was actually pretty fucking clever.
That was.
So they could scan the fucking thing. On the Klingon Bird of Prey, in the Klingon captain's quarters, Persis tells Raikin of Malak's upcoming plan to overthrow him and take his place as leader. She tells Raikin that Malak believes he is weak and is making all of the augments weak. Persis further tells Raikin that Malak believes that if their father, the father is Soong, by the way, it's in quotes every time it's his father, were with them, he would choose father! Malak to lead them. Raikin announces that he will betray their father's principles by killing Malak. back in orbit on Varix 3, Ensign Pierce is beamed back to Enterprise, where upon removal from his neck by Dr. Phlox, the restraint is analyzed by a Duggar. In a corridor on the Bird of Prey.
Did they skip the part where Trip, where fucking Soong threw back slavery at Trip?
Oh, yeah. Where he was like, based on your accent, your ancestors were. I was like, shut the fuck. I say, when is going to be the limit of when we just stop doing this? You know, like, Jesus Christ. It's like 2153.
Would have been great is if Soong looked at him and goes, too soon? Or you see Trip just grab Soong by his collar and just slam him down on the fucking bed.
He didn't really take the bait. I forget what he said afterwards, but he didn't entertain
that. Oh no, he said about he goes more like your augments. He's like they were more subjects really. Oh yeah, just with he said something else that basically meant that they were slaves.
Like a lot like slaves or something like that. Basically the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Soong's high on his own soft.
And then Trip finally goes, I know you are, but what am I? You know?
Right. Poked him in the eye and shit. In a corridor on the Bird of Prey, Raikin attempts to kill Malak, but unfortunately for him, all the augments on the Klingon vessel have turned on him, choosing Malak as their new leader. This eventually leads to Raikin's death at Malak's hands, and command of the ship is officially handed to Malak. Persis also now becomes Malak's partner after Raikin is killed. Of course, that's how that works. You know, to the victor goes the spoils, you see. a code to deactivate all the restraints is discovered, and Archer returns to the auction along with Soong. Archer is able to deactivate all restraints for the slaves, and a riot ensues. The Enterprise crew is beamed back to the ship five at a time, but Soong stuns the captain and escapes. Soong deactivates his transponder. This shit was funny. Soong deactivates his transponder so he can't be tracked. Archer climbs one of the slave cages and spots Soong, then activates his arm restraints. Soong uses this to climb a wall, but Archer catches up with him.
That was funny.
And deactivates the restraints, causing Soong to fall back to the ground.
That's what you expected to hear. Womp, womp, womp.
For real. He embarrassed him.
He did.
This shit was funny. they return to the Enterprise. Act 4. Archer accuses Soong, now locked in Enterprise's brig, of having planned the whole thing, knowing the Orions would attack the ship. I was waiting for him to go, yeah, that's yes.
Yes, that's how it works.
He says two of the captured crew may suffer permanent injury. Soong pleads with Archer to just leave the augments alone. They are the future of mankind.
Just leave them alone. Just
leave them alone. They're stronger, faster, and live longer than the average human. Archer tells him they are dangerous and have to be stopped and proceeds to leave. Soong tries to insist that genetic engineering could have saved Archer's father.
That was a low blow.
Who was suffering from Clark's disease. Those who had banned genetic engineering had condemned him to death, yet the captain refuses to listen. So the thing is this is what Soong does. Like, he says something like that, which makes sense, because that's like kind of what Phlox said, that his species used genetic manipulation for. But that's not Soong's actually doing eugenics.
Right.
So it's like, don't mask your evil shit with like good things that might happen. Tucker and T'Pol speak briefly in sickbay. He asks how her honeymoon was, and she says that although she was on Vulcan for 2 weeks after Tucker left, she spent the time alone in meditation. Tucker says it isn't really his business anyway. Well, that's not exactly how it went. So Tucker asked earlier in the episode how the honeymoon was, and she didn't really know what honeymoon meant.
Oh, right.
And then he's like, well, you stayed for 2 extra weeks, and then she got it, but then she didn't. I think they were interrupted or something.
Yeah, Archer came in.
Yeah, and then in this scene, he doesn't even ask that. He just comes to check on her and then sees that she's working because it's T'Pol. And he said, you're supposed to be resting. And she goes, it's fine. I can go back to duty. And he goes, okay, well, I'll leave you to your study. And then she just blurted out, I didn't have a honeymoon. And then he was like, huh? So basically, I didn't fuck him. That's what she was saying.
Right.
She was just meditating alone. So, resuming their search for the bird of prey, the Enterprise is again attacked by two Orion interceptors, claiming they stole Orion property. That was funny. You stole our property. It's like, there were our people. You took off the bridge.
I know.
Enterprise is suffering damage until the bird of prey appears and chases off the interceptors. By the way, Orion ships are not slouches, but this bird of prey came in like they were made out of paper mache. I was like, I don't know. This is a little – that's a struggle for me, but whatever. Bird of prey appears and chases off the interceptors. Docking with Enterprise, they find out it is the Ockmans. Yeah, they think it was the Klingons, and then it's the Ockmans. Malik meets with Archer. This is the funniest scene in the whole fucking thing. Malik meets with Archer and tells him that Soong has contacted him and they have come to rescue him. Archer says his orders to take the Ockmans.
He came in to rescue him.
Malik says Earth despises the whole idea of his kind, and besides, they are superior to humans. Kind of says that in a roundabout way. He warns Archer that he, because actually this makes it sound like the guy sounds like a fucking idiot. He is a little, you know, full of himself,
right.
But the actor that's playing Malik is actually really good. Like he was he owned that scene. This is his scene. You know what I mean? I thought it was kind of good. Malik says, yeah, I already said that. He warns Archer that he is going to hurt him. That was funny.
Yeah.
So he goes, I'm going to attack you now.
That was
And then
funny.
He attacks him and he goes, even when you have a warning, you're not fast enough. I was like, dude. I said, that was some Mr. Miyagi shit.
Yeah.
You got fucked up. He says that even with a warning that exactly what I said. They are 5 times as strong, twice as smart. Reed lowers his weapon. Then Malik, with Archer as a hostage, exits the ready room onto the bridge and then to the turbo lift. Also, he really was choking that neck, dude. Like, if you look at his hands, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's like, and then you know afterwards you had Scott Bakula going, okay, you know what, that method shit ends now.
I'm gonna need you to chill, okay? I wasn't on Quantum Leap for you to be choking my ass on fucking TV. Calm that down. At the docking port, the other Ockmans led by Perseus. Perseus is the chick, by the way, that keeps switching teams. hacking into the door controls and storm the Enterprise's dock, stunning all guarding Mako's. Well, one Mako got a shot off, though. She got that shot off.
She got that shot off, and then she got shot herself.
For real. They proceed to the brig and release Soong. Perseus hugs him and Soong smiles. At the docking port, Malik arrives with Archer in front of the rest of the Augments and Soong. Soong says he is proud of all of them. Soong tells Archer to go home and start learning to speak Klingon. That was a dick move, by the way. Yeah, because they were when Malik was talking to Archer the thing, Archer was like, what you've done by stealing the Bird of Prey, you're going to start a war. And he flat out, I thought this was kind of G2. Malik was like, we don't care what happens to your people.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. Like, all right, bro. Malik leaves Archer and returns to the Bird of Prey with the others. The ship warps out with Enterprise unable to pursue due to damaged engines.
And he did use that quote from Nietzsche, mankind is something to be surpassed.
Which is great. So Nietzsche is one of those philosophers that a lot of people love to quote, and then they quote it as if he meant them.
Right.
It's like narcissists love Nietzsche. It's really fucking weird. It's like he wasn't talking about you, you stupid motherfucker. On the Bird of Prey, Soong takes command and tells the Augments that they are going to retrieve thousands of their brothers and sisters who are waiting to be born. Let's go get them, Soong states to his children. To be continued.
Da, 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 da.
I hope someone else writes it next episode, but whatever. That guy was really brief. Let's do the background information, which is almost as long as what I just read. J.G. Hertzler makes his last live-action Star Trek appearance here as the Klingon captain. At this point, he had been a Star Trek guest star for 12 years. Emissary was filmed in 1992. With his best-known character being General/Chancellor Martok in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Respect, dude. One of the aliens seen in T'Pol's cell is the same race as Tarquin. Who?
Tarquin?
Let me peep it. Oh, the fucking the Beauty and the Beast dude.
Oh, really?
They had that mask left over, bro.
Oh, yeah.
The man who buys T'Pol at the slave auction is a Tellarite, of course. God, mm-hmm. They're a little weird. Let's keep it real.
And they're very noticeable.
Yeah. Big Show is the second WWE wrestler to guest star in Star Trek Enterprise and the third to appear in Star Trek overall. The Rock guest starred in Voyager to Scancy, and Tommy Tiny Lister Jr. guest starred as Klang in Enterprise Broken Bow.
Debo, in case you don't know who that
Debo,
was.
Debo, baby.
It's my back now, punk.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Yeah. Several new changes have been made to the Enterprise's sets, including a new captain's chair, redesigned transporter pad, new door frames for sickbay, all hatches changed from dark gray to metallic blue, and several light panels and blue carpeting in the bridge set. You know what I like? Is all those upgrades were subtly more like the Constitution class Enterprise.
Yeah.
Like the chair. I like how the attention to detail in that in this show was really cool. Like they were slowly going in that direction.
Yeah.
It wasn't changing to something completely out there.
as I said in Stormfront, that this season was taken over by a Star Trek fan. Manny Coto, who became the showrunner, is a Star Trek fan. So his whole purpose, his whole purpose for this season was to link Enterprise to TOS. That's where we got the Orions and we start getting the Augments and we get all these different things in there. So he's slowly making the Enterprise look like our old Constitution class from TOS. So that's what I think is really awesome about that, is that we're slowly getting that fit in there.
And honestly, I think if they hadn't have done that this season, people wouldn't remember this show as fondly.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have connected as much.
That's
true. That's my opinion. This is the first episode since the third season installment of Zadi Prime in which Enterprise appears without severe damage to its hull. Yeah, she looks all spruced up.
I know, at least she's nice for one episode, you know.
Yeah, for real. The new captain's chair is a reuse of Picard's new chair seen in a deleted scene in Star Trek Nemesis. The chair was also seen on the Starfleet vessel Intrepid in The Expanse. While Brent Spiner had played several characters other than Data to this point, this was his first Star Trek appearance in which he did not also play Data. Nevertheless, Spiner here continues the tradition begun in the TNG season 1 episode Data Lore and the TNG season 4 episode Brothers of playing characters that might be thought of as part of Data's family. Consequently, this is Spiner's first Star Trek appearance without Patrick Stewart, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and Jonathan Franks, Commander / Captain William T. Riker. Keep it real. I like that they put that / Captain in there. Well, they should have put Captain / Admiral for Jean-Luc Picard. Yeah, they're playing with my boy, dude.
It's like you can't go part way. It's not like going, I'm just gonna play the tip. You know, it's like,
how do you edit this? I'm gonna edit this after we're done. I'm gonna try it because it's a wiki. Malik's claim to
you put William T. Riker all caps.
Yeah, that's right. and a picture of him doing the lean. Malik's claim to have 5 times your strength is the same thing that Khan, Noonien, and Singh told James T. Kirk in the Star Trek The Original Series episode Space Seed. I can't wait. Can I just say this real quick? Like, I'm having a blast with watching Enterprise. I'm very happy that we're finishing it while we're doing the show. It makes it more interesting. I can't wait to get into TOS, bro. Like, every episode we examine them. Like, it's dope. I watched the last TOS episode I watched. They went to a planet where all the adults died.
Oh, yeah.
Like a fucking Children of the Corn. There's like a disease or something. I was laughing because the kids acted like dumbasses. Because
they're kids.
There was this one older kid. You couldn't even understand what he was saying.
Well, I think
he was familiar too.
Yeah, they died, I think, like when they got to like 18 or something like that. Or they hit puberty or something like that. They started to... You know, even though that chick looked like she hit puberty like a long time ago, but you know.
And she was, there was a little bit too much, she's a little too into Captain Kirk there. I don't blame her. I mean, Kirk's a very dashing young man, you know, but.
Kirk's behind a table. She comes out from under it. You're like, whoa, hey there.
You know what I like though in that episode the best is that you had a young girl. It was very accurate. You know, you had a young girl who was fawning for an older man, but he wasn't A, entertaining it, or B, acting repulsed. He was just being nice to her.
Yeah, like most people do.
Yeah, because he's not going to just be like, fuck off, young bitch. I ain't trying to fuck you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you don't want to be mean. You don't want to be a prick to that person. But yeah, you know.
Also, let's keep it real. Kirk was like, listen, I need somebody for information. All right, let's... Let's be nice to this chick. She can help us out.
You know, come on. You have some information. By the way, when do you turn 18?
Yeah. Marks it on the calendar.
I'll be back here. Let's see that star date. beams back down with some aluminum balloons and some roses with some Whitman chocolate. You know, shit.
The sad thing is that is very accurate for some of these, how these dudes move out here, bro. Where was I? Oh, this is the first episode since Bounty in which the Zindi are neither seen nor mentioned. However, several references are made to the events of Zero Hour. This episode received an Emmy Award nomination for Outstanding Stunt Coordination by Vince Dedrick Jr. I believe it. That whole scene with where the slaves broke out, that was kind of cool. Like, it was like a cool, like a bigger kind of scene.
Yeah.
Among the costumes and props for this episode, which were sold off on the It's a Wrap sale and auction on eBay, was an Orion pad and 2 neuralytic restraint props. Phlox's comment to Soong, to Soong about the death of millions of humans as a result of the genetic engineering is a reference to the Eugenic Wars and Khan, Noonien, and Singh. The eugenics wars and the final fate of Khan, as of 2154 at least, are further discussed in The Augments, the 3rd episode in the story arc. This episode confirms Makos are still stationed on Enterprise. Even though the Zindi mission has ended, this remains so for the duration of the series. I mean, even Archer said, because Archer was telling the captain of the Columbia.
Yeah.
He was like, you should get some Makos on the ship. Yeah. Like,
because you're gonna need the ones to, because he knows Enterprise security can't hit shit. They're like stormtroopers, like that meme, that like meme where the, you know, with the stormtrooper and red shirt fire at each other. They don't hit each other, but the red shirt still dies, you know?
For real. And last but not least, this episode marks the first appearance of the Orions since the animated series, The Pirates of Orion, in 1974, and their first appearance in live action since TOS Whom Gods Destroy in 1969. Damn, it's been that long?
Yep.
Didn't we have the two Orion slave? Am I tripping or am I thinking about a different Star Trek? Because wasn't there were two Orion slave girls that came on the ship and wooed them with their fucking charms.
No, they weren't Orion.
I thought they were Orion. That must be tripping.
Yeah, no.
That's the episode, ladies and gentlemen. It was a...
it was a humdinger.
It was a humdinger.
As the kids say.
Yeah. Wow. The kids who are already dead. What the fuck, humdinger? They're a real hoot nanny, you know?
Yeah. got a real barn burner here, you know?
Oh, Jesus Christ. What the fuck? Yeah. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I
liked it. I said it was, I think I told what, I can't remember what I told you, that it was like, it was all right, but it wasn't like,
yeah,
like great. But, I mean, it was, I think a little bit was because of the character of Malik was kind of annoying to me.
Malik was annoying.
Yeah.
He was a very pompous asshole.
Yeah. And then the girl that he was, I was like, she was a little too, like, I don't know. She seemed a little too, like, if those two are getting together, she's the man in the relationship. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brent Spiner really goes out of his way to make you not like Soong.
I mean, doesn't he always, though?
Yeah. I mean, even, like, in all this, particularly, it reminded, I think the reason why it bugged me so much is because we saw the same thing in Picard season two. You know, yeah. They try to give him that, oh, he's doing it for, you know, his quote unquote daughter. But in the end, he was just trying to just create superior life. And then at the end, when he pulls out the con file, you know, I was like, going, okay, so yeah, it's the very, that, and it's really weird that every generation of that family is a genius, you know?
Yeah. they're all just amazing.
Yeah, they all.
But I do like that. Yeah, it's kind of weird that they're all geniuses, but they're all kind of assholes. Like, they're not the best people.
They believe their own hype.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, man. I thought it was good. But it was just fun, you know. And the I liked that also, that we're getting into stuff that connects with TOS and,
yeah,
you know, that kind of stuff's really tickling my pickle, you know what I mean? But yeah, other than that,
but I am looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, I am too.
It's been a long road,
getting from there to here.
It's kind of crazy that we're already into season four.
I know.
And, like, you know, this is the last batch of episodes from this. And then we hit The Cage and then the two seasons of Discovery, which will be half the episodes of these, you know, half the duration.
Oh, we'll breeze through that.
Yeah. And then it'll be TOS. So
this season.
Oh,
this
Strange season. New World. Strange New World. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This season is 22 episodes long. We just went through the fourth. So, yeah, you know, it's good to go. We definitely the best episode. These are the voyages.
I use the best episode of Trek. I mean, that's just,
you know, what's sad is These Are the Voyages isn't a bad episode, but it is a bad series finale.
It's not a bad episode. It's a bad Enterprise episode.
Yeah, like if this episode was
TNG,
huh?
If it was TNG,
yeah. Like if this, let's say the two shows were on at the same time. I don't know, you know. But yeah, it was a bad Enterprise because it just wasn't necessary.
Yeah,
I felt like by this time, we didn't need TNG to justify Enterprise.
Right.
You know, it was its own show. It was on UPN, for goddamn sake. All right. How dare you? Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share the show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.